And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good. I think today's going to be easy. We have a lot of suggestions for our interview with David Poile later. My favorite one here is, pH factor? Let me read this real quick. Okay, ready? Here we go. Please have a team owner on and tell them about how fed up the fan base is of Poile and Hines. Now listen, the owners have a lot of different interviews they do. I don't know if today we're going to get them on, but at least a couple times this week we'll have some owners on.
It's
okay?
really a media tour that the owners go on.
It's a car wash, a weekly car wash.
It really is.
Yeah. Thank you, pH Factor.
I had to triple check my tweet last night. It's like, man, there's a lot of suggestions of what we should ask David Poile later today. Did I ask for suggestions? No, I did not.
Twitter is the suggestion inbox, apparently.
Okay.
By the way, pH Factor also says, any employee for the team's going to do is deflect blame to others so they can keep their job. I think we should just ask him if he should be fired right now on the spot.
Yeah.
Over and over.
David, what do you think?
Just repeatedly ask that question.
David, what do you think? Looking forward to that. Coming up at 8:30. I mean, all seriousness, I am looking forward to the interview coming up at 8:30. I'm interested to see what David Poile has to say because, as we discussed for the majority of the show yesterday, the equation continuing not to look great for the Nashville Predators based on this past week of play. And our interview with David Poile last week made the rounds on hockey Twitter. I'm interested to see what happens today and what he's got to say about how this past week has influenced the way that he's thinking about this team.
Will he tell us he's selling for sure?
Wow.
Tonight is it. That's all I want. Guys, whatever happens tonight. Yeah. Win, buying. No, he already told us he's not buying. Win, standing pat. Loss, selling. Overtime loss, soft sell.
Yeah, okay? Soft sell. Just kidding.
Put it all on one game.
Those are how we're operating tonight. So looking forward to David Poile coming up at 8:30. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Excited for the show today. Excited to read Twitter in the comments. I'm already seeing them all right now. So going to be a good day, fellas.
It's been a lot. 615-737-1025. We appreciate your comments. Keep them coming on Twitter. Keep them coming on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Tennessee taking on Texas A&M tonight. Predators hosting Vancouver tonight. So some big games in the world of our local sports in here tonight. So looking forward to that. We'll have a lot more on the Predators coming up a little bit later in the show. Gentry Estes joining the program at 7:30. We'll get into some Tennessee and Vanderbilt basketball with him as well. So looking forward to that. But Joe, we begin today on the Tennessee Titans. And I was wondering about this yesterday, just kind of thinking about the offseason and things that we've discussed and things still left to be determined by the Titans this offseason. It's free agency. It's just a few weeks away now. It's amazing to kind of think back to the view of Mike Vrabel a year ago. He had just won Coach of the Year, and he was fresh off the contract extension, a contract extension for he and John Robinson that we've talked extensively about, and was about as – other than winning a Super Bowl, was about as high and respected inside of a fan base as I think a coach can be in the NFL based on the job that he had done. And I remember heading into this past NFL season, we talked about the odds that were out there that had Vrabel sixth on the list in the NFL in terms of coaches most likely to be fired first. And I was like, what is going on here? It's just asinine, these odds that we've talked about. And now you fast forward, and the Titans have fired John Robinson, and Vrabel, I think it's fair to say, has indirectly or directly received more power within the organization, and the Titans are fresh off a 7-game losing streak to close out the last regular season and have missed the playoffs. And while I still think the Titans fan base, the majority of which is in on Vrabel and thinks Vrabel's a really good coach, we did see, as this losing streak was continuing to pile up, more critical comments of Mike Vrabel and the job that he had done as head coach from some fans on our text line and for some fans that have called in as well. So my question is, as we sit here today, based on the information that we know to this point, the moves that have been made, what are Titans fans' view of Mike Vrabel as we sit here heading into this offseason with a new regime coming in with Rand Carthon, presumably more power for Mike Vrabel, and fresh off a 7-game losing streak? It's an interesting spot, certainly a little bit different than it was this time a year ago.
Well, there's no doubt, you know, things have changed dramatically. I mean, it's you go back to the plane from Green Bay, hashtag, you know, where things were at that moment and how things changed after that. But I actually think the Vrabel question is a good example of the loud vocal minority. You know, like with the Preds, this is a nice comparison contrast here, okay? The Preds stuff, that's like go anywhere. Any forum you'd like to talk to some Preds fans, go, you know, on any social media, go find them in the streets. Like, there's a lot of it's very majority upset / disillusioned with I have no doubt about that. With Vrabel, I think some people certainly like don't like how he comes off in pressers sometimes, and then you lose a bunch of games. And I mean, you know, you going to the coach is pretty natural. The OC has already been, you know, blamed, sacrificed, and all that. But I still think, I could be wrong, but I still think a vast majority of Titans fans are happy to have Mike Vrabel as their head coach.
Well, I would agree. And I do think, though, the equation has changed a little bit around him in terms of, I mean, anytime you fire a general manager, it changes things up within your organization. And if there is more power / more say-so / final say, all these things we've talked about, if Vrabel has all that now, then when the results or if the results don't go well, then more of the blame goes on him now. And that is not really a situation that I think he's been in so far as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. You know, we talked about the Ray Rob part of this for a long time. And then pretty clearly, you know, last year it started to – you had to separate the two. I mean, it was Vrabel and it was John Robinson. And Vrabel, I think all accounts, most people would say, had done a better job at his job than Robinson had done at his job towards the end there. So things started to separate on that front. And now you're in a situation with this franchise where there's so many questions about this team heading into the offseason. Which direction are they going to go? What personnel decisions are they going to make? And ultimately, how's that all going to translate to the field next year when you're still in a division that on paper is not very good, although Jacksonville, I think, will be the favorite next year. Like, if they come out next year and they miss the playoffs again and they're, I don't know, 7-10 or 8-9, whatever their record ends up being, like, is there a chance that Vrabel could be on the hot seat with the way that things have changed? Now, personally, I still think Vrabel's a great coach. I think he's really good at his job. And I think if the Titans ever fired Mike Vrabel, if he wanted to continue coaching in the NFL, he'd have another job in about 2 days if he really wanted to. But the equation has changed around Mike Vrabel. And we see this all the time in professional sports. When you're handed more responsibility, things don't go well. Ultimately, that comes back on you.
Well, and yeah, and look, he's going to get more blame and I guess credit for the roster, right? So I think that although there won't be confirmation, I feel pretty confident in saying that Vrabel, well, certainly he has more say. I think if it came down to it, I think he does have final say. And certainly the even if, you know, if people in that building want to contest that, say, nah, that's not clearly defined. Okay. He's not going to be subject to a situation like last year where he doesn't want A.J. Brown traded and A.J. Brown gets traded, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not going to happen. So more of what the roster looks like now will be influenced by him. So I still believe, by the way, that he had a lot of influence before. Absolutely. Okay. I think Robinson – I know they use the collaborate word so often, you wonder if, like, Robinson locked himself in a closet and made picks, you know? But it wasn't that. That's not
blocked
what
Vrabel's
was.
Phone number?
Yeah.
Nah, Mike.
Yeah.
Don't care what you have to say on this one.
Yeah. Muted him on Twitter. So, like, Vrabel, it's like not like Vrabel didn't have any say before, but he has more now. And so now everything is more on him, for sure. Could he be on the actual hot seat? Who knows? I mean, that's the thing, too, is this question is now with ownership. It's like, I mean, I have a lot more respect for the unpredictability of the situation given what happened with John Robinson this year. So I suppose it's possible. It'd be wild to me to flush 2 5-year deals.
Agreed.
You know, in a short period of time after doing them. I think that there's probably a lot more leeway for him than that. But Yeah, look, from the fan perspective, if they have a bad year next year, although I also think that, like, the offseason direction, which, and by the way, I have a take on that later.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, could also, should influence how people think about that. Like, as of now, we look at next year as they're doing everything they can to go, and so then you're judged that way. I don't know that that's going to be the case. We'll see.
We'll see what happens on that front. Kyle on the text line says the Titans are no longer favorites in the division. It's the Jags. If they have another losing season this upcoming year, I think Vrabel will be gone. This from Kyle, who I believe is a Jags fan, on the text line. So maybe some wishful thinking there. John on the text line says the path to Ohio State is coming together.
Oh, my goodness.
This from John.
Watch out.
I'd like to once again point out that ever since Joe Rexroad came out with that column at The Athletic, the Titans or Ohio State have not won a game. Neither one of them.
God, is that right? Oh, yeah. I guess Ohio State's played one game.
Yeah.
Ohio State played well, though.
They did.
Like Ryan,
but they lost.
Ryan Day responded to that column very well. Yeah, they did lose. That's a good point. No? Hey, listen. We joke, and yet whatever happens with the Titans next year, Ryan Day loses to Michigan a third straight time. You say whatever you want. Tell me what his record is. I don't care. 45-5 is what you should be at Ohio State. 45-6 now, I guess. It's what you should be at Ohio State. Can't lose to Michigan 3 years in a row. I'm telling you. Watch out.
615.
You had to bring it up, John.
He did. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Mike Vrabel. What's your confidence level in Mike Vrabel after this past season? And how much pressure do you think is now on Mike Vrabel heading into next year, given the decisions that this organization have made, including the firing of John Robinson and presumably more power available for Mike Vrabel? We'll get into all that, take your thoughts on all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5, The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Throwing the question out there, where are Titans fans' confidence, or where is Titans fans' confidence in Mike Vrabel after a tumultuous end to last season? They lose 7 games in a row. We know they fired the general manager. They've hired a new general manager. And now we'll see what the Titans do this offseason with their decision-making. And it's interesting, Joe, because I look at Vrabel, and any time in the NFL, or really in professional sports, but the NFL, since there's so few games, you play 17 a year, like any time a team loses 7 games in a row, a lot of places around the league, you look around and you say, oh, man, that can't be a good feeling as a coach to be losing 7 games in a row and be in that position. Like, with this one here, personally, me, like, I never really got that vibe with Vrabel. Like, I think everybody that paid attention to the Titans said, you know what, this roster is what it is. There's injuries left and right, some draft picks that haven't worked out. The general manager paid the price for it, and not much of this is on Vrabel. Now, if the struggles continue into next year, I mean, the guy that was the scapegoat for all that is now gone. So how differently does that change the way that Titans fans view it next year if the struggles continue and John Robinson is no longer here to be blamed? I'm interested to see what happens on that front.
Yeah, well, right. So, and you got a brand new GM,
yep.
So you can't, you know, blame a brand new GM for – roster issue. I suppose if whoever they draft, like, it all goes totally for naught, then that's a different deal, you know. But you've got Robinson out of here, and then you've also got another guy who took a lot of blame, Todd Downing, out of here. Of course, Vrabel hired him, so you know, the OC, just the, I mean, it's the offense. The offense is what it is next year, right?
Right.
It's the personnel side, which now Vrabel has, you know, more power over, and trying to fix that, whatever they do at quarterback, and then also, of course, the Tim Kelly hire and what that will mean, how it will look different, how it won't look different. You know, I mean, that was one of those on the fan Vrabel front. You know, I think a lot of kind of disappointment. I personally disagree with the sentiment. I mean, I don't guarantee it's going to be great, but I think it was a little bit too dismissed as a buddy hire than it should have been, but we'll see.
Well, I think the number one fan criticism of Vrabel last year was Downing, right? Like, it was, why have you not fired Todd Downing? Like, why is Todd Downing still your offensive coordinator? Just based on what we saw offensively. And now that he's gone, you've hired from within with Tim Kelly coming in. Like, if it doesn't look good, a lot of people are going to say, well, why do you keep hiring from within? Why can't you go find another offensive coordinator outside the system and bring them in? Whether that's fair or unfair, that's going to be something that's brought up on that front. I think you're right. So much of this comes down to what does the offense look like? And as Ty brings up on the text line, he says, I'm 100% confident in Vrabel. I'm less confident in us getting the line fixed. However, like, if the offensive line is not dramatically better than it was this past season, I don't know how much of a chance Tim Kelly is going to have in this job next year based on the protection of the quarterback, what we saw in the running game, the injuries, all these things, but also, you know, we'll see what they do with the weapons. But the offensive line, to Ty's point, got to get that fixed. And if you don't, there's not going to be an offensive coordinator that looks all that great with that offensive line.
Yeah, well, Vrabel also fired the offensive line coach.
He did.
So, and then promoted his assistant. So, yeah. Look,
apparently a great interview.
Yeah, they said best interview he's had. So there you go. Yeah, that's – there's just so many personnel questions right now. Look, I don't know. Now, they may make a trade, and that may change things. But between a draft class and trying to, you know, shore things up with the offensive line, one thing that they will have the benefit of, I think, next year is definitely low expectations. Whether that should be the case or not, but I don't think there's any question they will not be picked to win the AFC South next year. So there's that. But you know, for fans, you know, 100% confident in Vrabel. I think a lot of people feel that way or feel closer that way. But you know, if it is another bad year and you're not trying to have a bad year, I know they're not going to try, but you're in position with Tannehill where you're supposed to be quote unquote going for it. Well, then that confidence is going to erode, right? I mean, you can't just keep putting it all on like the Robinson mistakes in the offensive line as the reason for everything.
Well, and another thing that if it doesn't get better next year, some fans are already there. I mean, a lot of fans are already there, like asking what in the world's going on. If it doesn't get better next year, you're going to have people looking around at Mike Vrabel saying, all right, man, what the heck are you doing? Like, what's going on here? And that's the injuries. Like, they've had such bad injury luck the past 2 years. If that's the case again next year, and you're talking about 3 years in a row of this, you know, we've talked about the training staff and all these other things and what's fair and what's not fair in this discussion. But I'm just here to tell you, if they have 3 years in a row of bad injury luck, people are going to be looking around at Vrabel and saying, like, what are you doing? Like, why? How can you not get this figured out with the injuries with the Titans?
Yeah, and look, it's fair. I mean, at this point, there's no obvious easy question. I think there's a lot of different answers, or there's no easy answer, I mean. I think there's a lot of different ones for different situations, but you're right, if it's another year of that, because I've heard people say, style of play, basically the only thing that's different about them is they run the football more, but maybe style of practice. But the thing about that is, you could almost flip around and say, maybe you should have more contact practices because, I mean, I think Vrabel goes out of his way to give them days off and all that stuff. I mean, he is mindful of that. And remember, this wasn't some big deal in his first, three seasons, right? In his first 3 seasons, I think they had a pretty much a normal injury rate relative to the NFL. Why all of a sudden has it just gone off the rails right here? But you're right. If it's a third straight year of it, how could you not ask that question?
It's going to be something that comes up. And, you know, I said last year that just the law of averages, there's no way the Titans have as many injuries as they did the year before. I mean, I guess I was right. They didn't have quite as many, but they're like two or three off.
We're talking about players used, right?
Yeah.
They may have still had, they had more injuries. Players on IR at the end of the year than anyone in the history of sports.
I think they may have.
I could be wrong.
It was unbelievable. David on the text line says, it's hard to believe they lost 7 straight at the end of the season. I think I may have blacked out midway through. Total disaster. This is from David on the text line.
Sorry to remind you, David.
It is, in all seriousness, it is kind of hard to believe that things ended up the way that they did. And that's part of this conversation. Like, it's, you know, he was the coach when that happened. Now, I think Mike Vrabel's a great coach. I'm not trying to create, like, some Vrabel on the hot seat category. I just know how professional sports work, and when the wins aren't coming, eventually it falls on the head coach. I don't know. I mean, I think Vrabel's a great coach. Well, he wouldn't be on my hot seat. I just know how professional sports work.
No. And again, go back to Amy Adams Strunk. The John Robinson firing to me was that kind of snapped me awake. Like, oh, okay, this is a little different than I thought it was. And I went back as that day. I was like, okay, has there been any indication of this? And I do go back to that 2016 season of Mike Mularkey firing one of his best friends the day after they give up a punt return.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if it goes bad, I think there's going to be a search for blame. I just feel like, though, that this has been kind of set up for him to have more say, to, you know, he has done his job so well that he's been rewarded. And so it's hard to believe that you would pull the plug on that
especially,
quickly.
Yeah, especially now, right? I mean, you've made the decision. If you're Amy Adams Strunk, you've taken Vrabel's side in this. If there was a side to take, you've taken Vrabel's. So, like, you got to let him see it through at this point, don't you? Like, this is what you've decided to go with. So,
yeah, I think so. Now, you know, if it's 5-12 next year, right. Like you said, it's pro sports. It's pro sports, not the Nashville Predators. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see how this, beyond the personnel stuff, I mean, it's off season. That's the job of the off season, is to get your players and your team signed and tooled up to be ready to go next year. But beyond that, like, the power structure between Carthon and Vrabel, and if things don't go well, like, how much of that blame does fall on Mike Vrabel, especially from the fan base next year? I'm interested to see what happens on that front. Well, I have more of your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025, including an epiphany from Joe Rexroad on what the Titans could do in the NFL draft. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Which would actually, I think, take some heat off Vrabel.
Ooh. Looking forward to that as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've been discussing Mike Vrabel and the, I guess, the pressure and or the view of Mike Vrabel from the Titans fan base heading into next season. But, Joe, there's a lot to get to before we get to next season. The draft coming up, free agency before that, and there's a lot of decisions the Titans have to make. And you have had a revelation of sorts, an epiphany, if you will, of what the Titans should consider as the NFL draft approaches here.
Yeah, this is a few things coming together. One is today, is this the only one? Do we do this more than once? I don't know, but we always do the writer draft.
Oh, yeah.
So today is the writer draft at The Athletic. So in advance of that, you know, there have been conversations, very, very serious conversations with Adam Johns, who covers the Bears for us,
yeah,
about the number one pick. So what my epiphany is, you know what? What's going to happen here is that either the Colts or the Texans are going to get number one. And then the other one's going to get, like, they're going to end up with, like, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, or maybe Bryce Young and Will Levis. And, you know, the Titans are going to be looking at a division with three teams with maybe, you know, who knows what they'll be. But here's the thing. The real epiphany is I just think Bryce Young's going to be great. I think Bryce Young is going to be, and some of this is also, like, people are starting to share all this film stuff on Twitter that people are going through the draft process.
Yep.
But, I mean, with my own two eyes, I saw the guy out there, and that I said the same thing that day. Like, that, I don't care. That guy is going to be great. He's going to be great in the NFL. He should be the number one pick. I believe he'll be the number one pick. And I think the Titans need to do their homework, and they need to figure it out. But I think the Titans need to seriously think about throwing the kitchen sink at getting the number one pick and get into it. Look, it's hard because, you know, the Colts, the Colts obviously, I mean, the Texans only have to move a spot, and the Colts only have to move three spots,
yep,
you know, to get up there. The Bears obviously would much rather just move down to two or to four. And I think both of those teams are going to be vying for that. So 11, you got to come with something. Okay. But to me, like, so what? If he is that great, and I do believe he will be, And I'm kind of with, I don't know if you saw, friend of the show, Tannenbaum. I loved his comparison. You see his comparison the other day?
No.
He said he's going to be like the NFL Steph Curry.
That's a very popular
like, you know
one
what?
Out there.
I like that. I mean, you've seen that from other people?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's the first time I saw it was the other day. I'm like,
I think
you know what,
Orlovsky
Tannenbaum?
Was the first one I saw say that.
So Tannenbaum's just stealing from Orlovsky?
I think so.
Oh, God. I'm so disappointed in you. Friend of the show also. Well, Tannenbaum didn't run out of the back of an end zone. But then again, yeah, when you wear a Lions uniform, you never know what kind of crazy crap you might
things
do.
Things just happen.
I love that. I love Steph Curry, the NFL. I think Bryce Young is going to be that guy and one of those guys. And, look, I know next year's guys could be special too, but you got to try to me. Now, look, you got to try if you agree. And if you don't agree with me, then fine.
Sure.
But I really think that you have to think about what can you do and you know what does this do if you do that? Yeah, it means that next year you're not going to be very good. But, I mean, that's if the payoff is that you have an actual franchise quarterback to build around and you get him instead of one of those two teams in your division that are going to torment you with him, then you have to try.
I agree. I mean, this goes back to – a conversation that we had really at the start of the offseason, and my view on it was and will be, like, if you feel like you've identified your quarterback of the future, go get him. And you can worry about – I know we'll get in on the text line here in just a few minutes. People will call in, and I understand it. Well, what about the offensive line? Like, what about the offensive line? You got to protect the guy, right? And I get
he doesn't have to play next year.
Well, he doesn't have to play next year. But also, like, you can still – do things to address the offensive line this offseason in addition to drafting a quarterback. Now, I get it. Your draft capital, if you're moving up to go get Bryce Young, is going to be hit by that because you're going to have to give up a lot to go get him. So I understand all that, but there is still free agency and there's other things you can do to address your offensive line. But I've said it before. Like, I would rather go get the quarterback if you believe that he can be that guy. Like, if the Titans agree with you and they think that he is – going to be a great quarterback in the NFL and he can be your franchise pillar for the next 10, 12, 15 years, then why would you not consider doing that? Like, that's the most important position in professional sports. Why would you not consider going to do that? And my philosophy is if you feel that way, go get the quarterback and you can worry about all the other stuff later. That's just the way I feel.
Now you also have – I want Kaharski's little moles who listen to our show to listen carefully. You also have the inability to do it. You can't move up. Someone else gets it. You know, the Texans move up a spot or the Colts move up three spots. I mean, I think it's going to be one of them. Who else could it be? I mean, I suppose it could be there's other teams that could.
Raiders? Aren't they
Raiders,
up there?
Yeah, Raiders can move
Raiders
up.
Are at 7. Well, I mean, look, I mean, the Cardinals are not going to do it. They're committed to Kyler. The Seahawks could do it.
It's interesting because I knew this would happen at some point, and I don't know if it's just smoke screen stuff coming out of the Bears or what it is. But now in Chicago, there's a lot of the, would the Bears be better off trading Justin Fields and getting Bryce Young?
Sure.
You knew that was going to happen at some point.
That's a Tannenbaum special, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's you knew that was going to happen at some point just for the fact of, like, you know, if you're the Bears, even just floating that out there, I mean, maybe it helps you with your draft.
Absolutely.
Draft picks you get back.
Do
so
it. Do it
makes sense. I don't know how much of a serious consideration that actually is from them, but I knew you'd hear about that at some point this offseason.
Not happening.
I don't think so either.
What if that did? Would you, nouveau fake Bears fan, would you be
happy
or sad?
How about this? If that happened, my household would be a bleep show. How about that?
Ryan wouldn't be happy with Bryce Young?
He would. I don't know.
Bryce Young, you know.
I think it would be a lot of, okay, so they draft him. It's a lot of what they do around him, you know?
Here's the thing. I like Justin Fields a lot. I do, and I think I'm very interested to see how he does with better pieces around him. I think Bryce Young is going to be a better quarterback in the NFL than Justin Fields, period.
Yeah.
Period. Again, the slightness, the build, that's fair. I mean, they protect quarterbacks so much. But it still just comes. It comes down to your durability. I mean, there's plenty. There are smaller quarterbacks that have been fine. I mean, Drew Brees is similar size to Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is flat out going to be better than. But look, I think Bryce Young is going to be the guy we talk about from this draft. Everybody else in this draft, who knows? Most of them won't work out because that's how it goes. That's how the math always is. He's the one I'm convinced will work out. Now, let's say that. So how many teams can get would possibly be interested in getting him? Because I do think he's number one. He's QB one. Like you said, Colts, Texans,
Seahawks,
maybe Lions, maybe. And the Lions could decide to move off Jared. It's the same kind of idea as the Titans, you know, with Tannehill. You got the Raiders. Are the Raiders going to take Jimmy G? Everybody thinks the Raiders are taking Jimmy G now. Jimmy G reunited with okay, so we'll see on that. Falcons? I mean, certainly the Panthers. So all those teams are ahead of the Titans and have a better pick to offer the Bears.
Right.
So you're going to have to – and so, again, this is writers.
Would have to include, like, Jeffrey Simmons, wouldn't it?
Well, that may or may not have been offered
by
a writer to be named later.
Yep.
Well, I'm kind of trying to figure out the market. So if this is how the Bears look at it, first round, obviously this year, second round this year, first round next year, and then what else have you got?
Right.
But if you're the Bears looking at 11, yes, I think you're talking first round this year, second round this year, first round next year, and maybe Jeffrey Simmons. And you know what? Look, and I know a lot of people are like, you are an idiot for thinking about this. I would not want to give up Jeffrey Simmons, but I'll say this. Jeffrey Simmons is really good. He's in the next tier, probably a handful of guys behind Aaron Donald, right? That next tier, high tier. He's a great player, and players like that are so key. It's not more important than having a great quarterback.
Agreed.
A great quarterback, which I think Bryce Young is, so – we'll see if they agree with me.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Mark, are you there?
I think he hung up on us.
I think we may have lost Mark.
Is that Mark? Mark, our friend who bets on me against Jared.
It is.
It is.
Okay. All right.
Mark, call back.
Call back, Mark. You always make me feel good about myself.
So Joe Rexroad is throwing it out there. The Titans should consider moving up to go get Bryce Young. And it's going to cost a lot. I think we know that. But if you find your franchise quarterback, and that's a guy you feel great about for the next 10, 12, 14 years, maybe it's worth it. What do you think? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Joe Rex Road has floated it out there that the Titans should consider moving up to number one overall and drafting Bryce Young. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in our buddy Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for being back with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, how y'all doing, Robbie, Joe? Can
good,
y'all
Mark.
Hear me now?
Yes, sir. Good, Mark.
Oh, hey, Joe, I hate to disagree with you. I hate that more than anything, but I think that Justin Fields trade is for real. I think the Bears will do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to understand that coaching staff, they didn't pick Justin Fields when they come in, the new coach that this past year that coached the Bears. I really do think that they're going to trade in the Titans. I think that would be giving up too much, Joe. I mean, like Robbie said, they need offensive line help. They need some more defensive players. They need maybe to get a little younger in certain, places on that team and stuff. I hate to disagree with you, Joe, but I don't know. I think that being put out there by Tannenbaum, I think that's for real. I mean, you look back when they traded Rosen to get Kyler Murray. A lot of people didn't think that would happen, but it did. I'm thinking the Fields is probably going to be traded this year and stuff. But Joe, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and I'm going to get you hyped up. I'm going to get you ready for that big debate Wednesday with Steelman once again. We're going to see if you can go three in a row this time, Joe.
Listen.
I got faith in you.
You get to that third in a row, I think about maybe like a pack of gum or something don't bet big on the third in a row, Mark.
But we hope you enjoy that steak dinner, Mark.
Yeah, how was that steak
dinner? Oh, that steak dinner was great, Joe. One of the best steak dinners I've had in a while. Didn't come out of my pocket. So, you know, it was great, man. It was great. Wish you and Robbie could have been there, Michelle. We all could have sat there and ate good, you know. So, but, hey, we celebrated. You know, we got the dartboard a little bigger. We got that little face on there a little bigger, and we're hitting it. We're hitting it good, Joe. So, you know, we're gonna be rooting for you tomorrow, and you know, y'all have a good day and stuff, man. I just wanted to holler at you on that, but Joe, I had to kind of disagree with you. I think Fields is gone. I think they're gonna go with Bryce Young. You're right; he is the best quarterback in the draft. A lot of teams are gonna try to make those trades. I don't think the Titans got enough right now to do that.
Mark,
really
we love
don't.
You. We'll hear from you tomorrow. Appreciate you calling in.
Okay, then.
All right, Mark.
Thanks,
right,
Mark.
We'll see y'all. All right.
So, Mark thanks Justin Fields.
Well, if that's
will be traded.
Yeah. Well, look, if the Bears are going with Bryce Young, it's first time.
Then scrap that.
Yeah. Then that's it. You know. And if they do that, I don't think they're going to do that. But if they do that, I tip the cap to them. The two. So you have kind of. You know, conflicting viewpoints here. I agree with LD, who says Titans are due for a somewhat healthy season. If they run it back with Tannehill, you won't be in a position to draft one of the top quarterbacks next year. This may be the time to strike. You know, and then you have, of course, I've lost this because people are going nuts. Joel says, wow, Joe has gone full Stillman for Joe Burrow on Bryce Young. Yeah. Well, this is the kind of reaction I thought it might happen. Yeah, well, how about this one? Rebuild and ride with Dobbs this year at QB. Go after the franchise quarterback next year. Drake May, Caleb Williams are worth trading the farm for. None of these QBs are worth the draft capital you mentioned. Yeah. First of all, yeah, Dobbs isn't going to be the starter. I mean, I guess unless you truly are.
Right.
Fanking.
Well, maybe that's what he's saying, though. Like, go out there and fank and then go get Caleb Williams or Drake May. Like, I understand that, and there's already a lot of talk about Williams and Drake May. And to the point where – you know, they've been talking about on some shows that I've heard, you know, are NFL teams already looking ahead to that? Like, are NFL teams already – do they have one eye on Caleb Williams and Drake May
coming sure
next
some
year?
Are.
I'm sure some are. Like, if you're the Titans, is that the approach that you want to take this year given the situation with your team right now? I don't know. But, like, to me – the only way that this is possible, the scenario that you've thrown out there, is the Titans have to love Bryce Young. And if they do, then just go get him. Like, why? I don't know why you'd wait for Caleb Williams or Drake May. I mean, there's 1,000 different things that can happen between now and then next year. If you love Bryce Young, go try to do everything you can do to get Bryce Young.
Yeah, look, I mean, Joel's like, you know, it's not happening in fantasy radio. And look, right now, if you ask me if I'm betting on this to happen, no. But the only question is, yeah, what do you think about Bryce Young? I personally, like, I do look at Caleb Williams, and I know TD has made the Mahomes comparison. That's lofty.
It is.
I do. I mean, look, Caleb Williams is a special talent. There's no doubt. Right now, if you say, okay, you can have this guy or this guy to be your franchise quarterback, next 10 years he's your quarterback, I think I'm going with Bryce Young. And I know that physically, you know, that's – I mean, you know, Caleb Williams fits the bill a little bit better, but man, I think Bryce Young has some intangibles that are hard to find. So if you believe that of him, yeah, you're in a position. I mean, 11 is a big jump, but it's not like that hasn't happened before. I mean, it's a much easier jump than from 18, from 21.
Yeah.
So look, you are hurt. Obviously, the idea of going for it this year, you're hurting yourself. You're going to miss out on a player or two players who could help you. You may have to part with your best player, and also you're going to take away if the price I laid out earlier is accurate. You know, your best pick next year. Hey, it's going to hurt for a while, but like if you emerge from this with a great quarterback again, who's on your team and who isn't on one of your division rivals roster, That's part of this too.
Well, if you're
keeping him from them,
well, if you're Vrabel and Rand Carthon, you've got to be thinking about that, right? Like eventually, whether it's now or next year or whenever, like the Ryan Tannehill era is going to come to an end at some point pretty soon here with the Titans. Like it's, you know, he'd be 35 years old. At some point, you're going to have to figure out what your quarterback plan is of the future. And Rand Carthon discussed it at his introductory press conference. Like, he's well aware of how important that position is and how important that position is to get right. So, you know, I'm not saying that the Titans are going to make a move at quarterback just for the sake of making a move at quarterback this year.
No way.
And nor should you do that. But there's no question in my mind that they have talked through already some of these scenarios with the quarterbacks. And as we continue to go through the combine and they continue to break down the film and interview and talk to people, all these different things, you can bet that the quarterback position is going to be something that they vet heavily this year, or at least it should be that they vet heavily this year. So, you know, I hear the chatter on, well, it's, you already have a quarterback right now in Ryan Tannehill. Just go try to be as good as you can be around him. I hear that. I do. But at some point, he's not going to be your quarterback anymore. And I don't think that's that far away, whether it's now or a year or two down the road. You've got to get that figured out and a plan to go get it, because that's what it's going to take to compete in the AFC. I mean, we've gone through it 1,000 times. Mahomes and Burrow and Allen aren't going anywhere. You're going to have to find a quarterback of your own to compete with those guys on a consistent basis if you're the Titans.
Right. Now, Lance says, you know, fourth round, get Hooker. I don't think you're getting Hooker in the fourth round.
He's not going to the fourth round.
But you have, what do they have, 40, what would their pick be in the second round, 40, 43?
Yeah.
Whatever. You evaluate the heck out of Hendon Hooker, for sure. And look, it's one of those things, again, the only way you would do that there, again, it's not to, like, take a flyer on a quarterback, which is what they did with Malik Willis. It is because you believe he's that guy, too. Now, if you believe he's that guy, if you go through this, and again, you're not going to be able to physically evaluate him, but you're going to go through the film, you're going to interview him, you're going to get all the information you can get. If you believe Hendon Hooker is that guy, you also may be worried that someone else does too, and all of a sudden he actually goes late first, right? Someone moves up to get him late first. I'm not ruling that out as a possibility. I think he's probably going to go in the second, maybe third, but probably second round. And if that's true and you believe he's that guy, take him there, you know? I guess it's just like, I'm very interested to see how people evaluate Hendon Hooker.
I am too, but if you're the Titans, I have no interest in taking a quarterback with a second or third round pick if you're not convinced that he's your franchise guy.
Totally agree.
Idea of like taking a flyer on Hendon Hooker, I'm sorry, but you did that last year.
Yeah.
You did that with Malik Willis. Like, you have to, if you're going to take Hendon Hooker, you better think that he could be your quarterback for the next 7, 8, 10 years.
And maybe you have to move up from that, would take that second round pick and move up back up into the end of the first, you know, to do it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, if it just, again, I'm fascinated to see where he goes and what people think of him. I think he is at least a guy who can be a quality starter in the NFL. I think Bryce Young may be one of the greats.
Zach from Hendersonville says, can't forget about Joe Milton for next year either. Can't believe you didn't bring it up.
Well, that's the next hour. How actually
in the next year, so let's just slow down on that one.
Yes. Although after his first incompletion, I am looking forward to Vol Twitter screaming for Nico.
Well, I just can't wait to next year's NFL Combine when it's the great debate between Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Joe Milton. He shows up like, you talk about somebody whose Combine day could help him. Like Joe Milton showing up to the NFL Combine and he throws it out of the building. Like, oh my gosh, look at that guy.
Just throws holes into the building. Lucas Oil Hill.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion. Got more of your thoughts to get to on Rex Rhodes' proposal that the Titans should consider moving up to number one overall and taking Bryce Young. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, The Game.